Bible Study Chapter 13. The Love of Christ That Completes the Gifts. The Reality of Love That Completes the Gifts. Do you see that it indicates that among the many gifts the Church has, the love that comes from faith is the greatest gift? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Looking at the Bible, it clearly shows the fact that there are many gifts in the Church, but the greatest among them is love. After explaining the various gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul immediately follows by emphasizing the importance of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 2. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. This word shows that no matter how great the gifts and abilities are, if there is no love, they cannot become of true value. Gifts are tools to build the Church, but if there is no love, those gifts can rather bring confusion to the community. Also, Paul concludes like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. This word clearly indicates that love is the most important thing among all gifts and elements of faith. Love is not a simple emotion, but a heart that seeks the profit of others and builds the community. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are different from one another, but for all those gifts to be used correctly, faith must be at the center of the heart. When the faith that believes in the baptism the Lord received from John, His death on the cross, and His resurrection is in our hearts, gifts are used in the direction of building the community, and the Church is built more healthily. Therefore, the Bible emphasizes gifts, but at the same time repeatedly teaches the fact that gifts without faith lose their true meaning. The greatest gift in the Church is not the ability to exalt a person, but the love that makes us build up and serve one another. Ultimately, there are many gifts in the Church, but the Bible clearly indicates the fact that the center that makes us use all those gifts correctly is love, and love is the greatest gift. Paul opens with a series of extreme examples. Even if one speaks with the tongues of men and angels, has the ability to prophesy, to know all mysteries and knowledge, has faith to remove mountains, and even gives his body to be burned, he firmly declares, "But have not love, I am nothing. It profits me nothing." The love spoken of here is the love that flows out from the faith that believes in the Lord, who by receiving baptism from John had the sins of the world transferred to him, shed his blood, and died on the cross, and then resurrected. This does not deny the gifts themselves. The problem occurs at the very moment the gifts deviate from the anchorage, which is the purpose of the gospel. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is the gospel that through Jesus receiving baptism from John, the sins of the world were transferred to Jesus' body, the judgment of those sins ended on the cross, and by resurrecting from death, our salvation was completed. Gifts and devotion performed without love which is the fruit that this gospel of the water and the Spirit must necessarily bear, are nothing but simple religious performances and cannot testify to the power of salvation. Is not the love that Christians have fundamentally come from Jesus Christ? Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. According to the teachings of the Bible, it can be said that the true love that Christians have is fundamentally a love that came from Jesus Christ. Human love is limited and incomplete, but because the love that God has shown appears through Christians, it is perfect love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says this: "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." This word shows the fact that the beginning of love is not in man, but in God. God loved man first, and through that love, by Jesus Christ's baptism, blood on the cross, death, and resurrection, He became our Savior. Also, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, "We love Him because He first loved us." The reason Christians can love souls is not because human beings originally have much love, but because they are the ones who first received the love of salvation given by God. Jesus directly showed that He became our Savior because by the baptism He received from John, He had the sins of the world transferred to Him, took the judgment of sin by hanging and shedding blood on the cross, and resurrected from death. Jesus had the sins of the people of the world transferred to His own body through baptism, and manifested His love to us through His death and resurrection on the cross. Therefore, in John chapter 15, verse 13, He said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." For this reason, those who believe in the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit can say that the love coming from their hearts is not a human emotion, but a love flowing out from Christ. When the love of salvation given by God appears in the lives of the saints, they serve one another within the church, and the community is built up. Therefore, the Bible says that the gospel of the water and the Spirit manifests the love of Jesus Christ. In Galatians 5, it is recorded that the first among the fruit of the Spirit is love. This love is true love, that is, the love manifested by Jesus receiving baptism from John to have the sins of the world transferred to Him, shedding His blood and dying on the cross, and then resurrecting from death. Therefore, the love that comes out from within the faith that believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit is the love that flows out from those who believe in the salvation accomplished by Jesus Christ. Ultimately, the source of the love that Christians have is not within man, but in the love of salvation within the gospel of the water and the Spirit given by the Lord, that is, in Jesus Christ. Because the saints have experienced the love of Christ and accepted that love flows to other people through the lives of the believers. The love that Paul describes is the love that comes from the faith that believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Love suffers long and is kind, does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, and thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, and endures all things. This love does not occur naturally from within human beings. This describes the redemptive work itself performed by Jesus Christ. Jesus receiving baptism from John to have the sins of the world transferred to him, being crucified to receive the judgment of sin on our behalf, and then resurrecting from death. That is exactly love. The Lord did not give up on the salvation of sinners to the very end. The love within that work of salvation is true love. In a deep sense, love is the actual manifestation of the gospel of the water and the Spirit in a person's life. Are the gifts of God and the love of Jesus Christ eternal? Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. According to the teachings of the Bible, the love of salvation and the grace of salvation given by the grace of God is a love that eternally appears to those who believe. It can be said that the love of Christ is eternal. This is because the love of salvation that God and Jesus gave us is not a temporary love, but an eternal love. Therefore, the love of Jesus Christ appears to us eternally. In Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39, the Apostle Paul says this: For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This word is a declaration that nothing can separate the love of God manifested in Jesus Christ. It shows the fact that neither persecution, nor suffering, nor death, nor anything else can separate us from the Lord's love. This is because that love is not a love that disappears according to human merit or condition, but the love of God that does not change eternally. Also, because the gifts of God are given to us by God, they belong to the faithful God. Romans chapter 11, verse 29 says, For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. It is the fact that God is not one who capriciously gives and takes away like a person, but one who faithfully fulfills his promises. Especially regarding love, the Bible speaks more clearly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, Paul says, Love never fails. He explains that although gifts such as tongues or prophecies may end within times and circumstances, love is what remains eternally. This word means that among the gifts given by God, love is the greatest and holds eternal value. It means that because love is connected to God's own character, it does not disappear. Ultimately, the important truth that the Bible shows is this: the grace of salvation and the calling given by God are based on God's faithfulness, and the love of God manifested in Jesus Christ is a love that does not change eternally. Those who believe in that love of salvation, where Jesus received baptism from John to have the sins of the world transferred to him and took the judgment of sin on our behalf on the cross, live within that love and harbor eternal hope in their relationship with God. Paul proclaims the love of salvation. Love never fails, but prophecies will fail, tongues will cease, and knowledge will vanish away. Gifts, by their nature, are tools suitable for a specific season and are necessary for a person's life. However, love is a reality that continues even after that long journey ends. The gospel of the water and the Spirit has already embraced us with the love of salvation. But on this earth, that salvation continues to be revealed through a process of testimony and growth. In that process, gifts are needed, but the substance of its completion is only love. Does not the growth of faith manifest as maturity? When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 12. According to the teachings of the Bible, it is correct that the growth of faith ultimately manifests as a mature appearance. This is because faith is not simply an increase in knowledge, but a process in which faith toward God and the attitude of life gradually mature. The Apostle Paul explains the growth of faith like this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. This word shows that the goal of faith is not simply in starting the belief, but in the mature faith that reaches the measure of the stature of Christ. Also, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 emphasizes the maturity of faith. It says that at first, one is like a child drinking milk, but as time passes, one must grow into a mature faith that can eat solid food. This means that faith does not simply stay at the beginning, but gradually deepens and comes to manifest as the fruit of perfected love. The maturity of faith manifests in several forms. First, it is growing in the ability to understand and discern the Word of God. Second, it is moving from a self-centered life to a God-centered life. Third, it is the manifestation of a life of love, humility, and service. Fourth, it is a stable faith that does not waver even in difficulties. Especially, the Bible emphasizes that the maturity of faith manifests as love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him." As faith matures, a person becomes more of a person of faith and lives a life of raising others as another disciple of Jesus. Ultimately, the growth of faith is not simply an increase in religious activities, but the transformation of the appearance of life in the direction of resembling Jesus Christ through the growth of faith. Therefore, it can be said that the growth of faith spoken of by the Bible ultimately manifests as mature faith and the propagation of the gospel. Paul contrasts a child and a mature man. When he was a child, his speaking, thinking, and understanding were like a child. The decisive characteristic of a child is partial understanding. For now we see in a mirror, dimly. This verse points out a partial state of faith buried in gifts, subjective experiences, or self-assurance. The gospel of the water and the Spirit leads us from the partial to the perfect, and from self-centeredness to the Christ-centered propagation of the gospel. The evidence of that maturity is precisely the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ, and its fruit is the fruit of salvation. Faith, hope, love, the greatest of these is love. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. The Bible clearly says that the greatest among faith, hope, and love is love. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. This word speaks of three important elements in the life of faith. First, faith is believing and relying in the heart on the gospel of the truth of salvation through God the Father and Jesus Christ. Through faith, a person begins a relationship with God and comes to accept the love of God's grace into their heart. Next, hope is the faith that looks toward the future and salvation promised by God. The saints live looking beyond their present life to the day when Jesus Christ will come as the Lord of the second coming and take his people to the eternal kingdom the Lord will establish. And it is hope to be called by the Lord while propagating the gospel word of God by faith in the love coming from God. Love is not a simple emotion, but it is hope to live establishing a community of faith by believing in the word of truth coming from Jesus Christ and the salvation he gave. There are several reasons why Paul said love is the greatest. First, it is because love is deeply connected with the faith that believes in the righteousness of God. The Bible says, God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Second, love comes forth by believing in the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. However, even if there are gifts, if there is no center of the heart wanting to live in obedience to the Lord's word, everything can become in vain. Third, it is because love lasts forever. 1 Corinthians 13 says that gifts like prophecy or tongues will eventually disappear, but God's love will never pass away. Therefore, the Bible teaches that faith and hope are also important, but love must be at the center of all those things. Love begins from God, manifests within the faith of the righteous, and is the greatest power that builds God's church and binds the community together as one. Paul concludes chapter 13. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The hope of faith is firmly holding on to the salvation already received through the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Hope is the heart waiting for the day when the promise of the Lord's word will be fully manifested. And love is that salvation manifesting visibly in the present life. The reason love is the greatest is because love is the fruit of salvation, and, at the same time, the faith that proves the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13 asks us an insightful question today. What is your faith revealing? Is it your gifts or the salvation of souls brought to fruition by the gospel word of the water and the Spirit? A sermon by Paul C. Jong, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Beloved saints, today, through the words of 1 Corinthians 13, we are going to look deeply into what the essence of love is and where that love comes from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. This chapter is commonly called the love chapter, but it does not speak of a simple emotional love. Rather, it is a word that shows the essential aspect of life that appears within a person who knows the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The Apostle Paul first declares very strongly, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." This word is shocking. Even if one has many gifts, even if one's knowledge is deep, and even if one's faith seems great, if there is no love, it is nothing. Then what is the love spoken of here? It is not a simple human emotion. This love is the love that God first bestowed upon us. That is, the love revealed within the gospel. Jesus took all our sins upon himself by being baptized by John, was judged on the cross with those sins, and completed salvation by resurrecting from death. This is exactly the love of God. This love is not a love of words only, but an event where he actually took our sins upon himself in our place, Therefore, the love spoken of in 1 Corinthians 13 is not something we create, but something that flows out from the love we have already received. Paul then continues to explain the character of love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Many people accept this word as a standard that we must live like this. However, this is not the law. This is an aspect that naturally appears in a person who knows the gospel. Why is that? Because a person who knows the gospel of the water and the Spirit no longer tries to prove himself. He is one who has already received the blotting out of sins in Jesus. For that reason, there is no reason to envy, no need to boast, and no basis to be proud. Also, he says, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. This too is not an attitude created by force. If one does not know the gospel, a person will inevitably live self-centeredly. However, for a person who knows the gospel, the center changes. They are no longer directed toward themselves, but toward God and other people. And Paul says, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. The important word here is truth. Love cannot be separated from the truth. Clouding the gospel, treating sin lightly, or compromising the truth in the name of love is not true love. True love exists only on the truth of the gospel. That is, the love that appears on the gospel of the water and the Spirit is true love. So Paul says in conclusion like this, love never fails. Gifts, knowledge, and tongues will eventually end, but love is eternal. Because this love came from God, and Paul explains our current state like this. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. We are not perfect now. Our knowledge is limited, and our understanding is partial. However, there is one clear thing. It is the fact that we are ones who have already received the love of God. And because that love is in us, we have become ones who can live by that love. Lastly, Paul says this, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Why is love the greatest? Faith is for receiving salvation, and hope is looking at what will be fulfilled in the future. But love is what God has already given us, and because it lasts forever. Beloved saints, 1 Corinthians 13 is not a word that simply commands us to love. Rather, it is asking this, do you truly know that love? If we are still struggling to love, it may be because we do not yet know the gospel deeply. However, a person who fully believes the gospel of the water and the Spirit is different. Because he is one who has already received the love of God, that love naturally flows out. Jesus took all your sins upon himself through baptism, completely resolved those sins on the cross, and completed salvation through resurrection. He who believes this love is no longer a person who lives for himself, but becomes a person who lives by that love. Now our faith must change. It should not be struggling to love, but it must become a life living within the love already received. I pray in the name of the Lord that this gospel will take deep root in your hearts, so that true love will naturally appear in your lives.